and Jamie for the wonderful talk and launch that evening. And of course, the novel idea, as always, for always being there for these launch events. You are and have been listening to Finding a Voice on CFRC 101.9 FM, located here in Lower Carruthers Hall. And just hope you can stay tuned for the second hour today. We do have another book launch coming up that I'll feature in it. Just a quick reminder, though, before I run a couple of messages here, that every week both hours of this show are updated to my personal blog space for it. Can find it at Finding a Voice on CFRCFM.wordpress.com. They will remain there. Those segments will remain there for 4 years. Tell you what, let's go ahead and do this, and I'll come right back on the other side.
CFRC's annual funding drive campaign is now underway through December 31st. Help us raise $25,000 to support our local arts and artists and keep our community informed with local news, concerts, and event listings on air and on our website. Visit CFRC.ca today and make your gift to Kingston's longest-running broadcaster serving our community since 1922. Get a tax receipt via Queen's University or get sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. For every $5 donated, you get one more chance to win. Thank you for your support.
Hello and welcome to Salt Licht in Rapture. I'm your host, Nishan Tung. Salt Licht in Rapture is a sonic exploration of, to quote Virginia Woolf, violent waves of emotion. Featuring both known and lesser known musicians and poets, a special emphasis is placed on oddball, enigmatic, outsider artists whose work invokes dreamscapes and feelings of alienation, nostalgia, melancholy, existential unease, and yearning. Join me on Fridays at 8 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Partners in Mission Food Bank could not exist without the loyalty, dedication, and support of volunteers, some of whom have been with us for over 30 years. Our team of volunteers consists of individuals who continually devote both their time and skills on a regular basis in an effort to make a positive impact on hunger and the food needs of the community. Volunteering has no age limits. Your commitment and energy is enough. It is a great way to make new friends and contribute to your community. Partners in Mission Food Bank volunteers provide essential services in many ways, including assembling daily hampers, sorting food donations, breaking down and portioning bulk items, packing eggs into cartons, keeping the warehouse safe and clean, and providing helpful input to other volunteers and staff. Interested in volunteering with Partners in Mission Food Bank? Please call our volunteer coordinator at 613-544-4100.
And again, you are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. And I guess now we're about 3 minutes into the second hour of the show. So maybe to more officially introduce the show itself. Welcome to the second hour. It is almost 5:04 right now. Thanks for tuning in to CFRC, the second hour of CFRC 101.9 FM, located here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. Again, this show is called Finding a Voice, a spoken word program airing here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And coming up in just a couple of minutes this hour, I'm going to have the second feature, another book launch, and you're going to hear in it from an October 23rd, again, Novel Idea Bookstore event. This launch is for Robin Serra's new collection of poetry called We're Somewhere Else Now. And before we move into that, though, I did mention at the start of the show that November and December are our now traditional months for our funding drive effort. We're trying to raise $25,000. I started this show, maybe just a brief thing here. I started this show, it's hard to believe, 15 and a half years ago now. And I came in here after experiencing a lot of book launch events, but especially open mic readings, local poets, writers, and just thought, it'd really be nice if all of these people could have a little bit bigger audience than in addition to all those who have shown up, because there are a lot of people that could not make it or even weren't aware of it. So that's kind of why I started this show, and it's meant a lot to me to be able to do that over the years. And if that kind of something like that, and there are a lot of other volunteers here, I think over 200, maybe close to 300 at this point, volunteers here doing the same thing. Their hearts are in whatever their different ideas and thoughts are and things they're trying to do, and CFRC provides a space for that. So if something like that is interesting to you or is important to you, check out our website, www.cfrc.ca. You can donate in two ways there. It's very easy. You just click on the donate screen when it comes through the feed at the top, and you can donate two ways, either through Queen's University to get a tax receipt or donate directly to our website and get some gifts from CFRC and local sponsors. And I think you can win up to earn up to 50 chances to win a raffle prize. So much thanks. I know several people have already donated. Much thanks to those who have, and we'll keep you posted. How's that? And coming up, I will introduce it now for our second portion. This second hour is going to feature, again, a book launch by Robin Sarah with her new collection of poetry called We're Somewhere Else Now. That was held October 23rd at Novel Idea Bookstore. And let's go ahead and just jump right into it. Here we go.
So I'm reading to a small group, and I'm happy to read to a small group, and I guess I will introduce myself.
Or I can.
You want to introduce me?
Well, you asked me to.
I did. But you had a hard day, and I thought maybe you didn't want to.
Oh, introduce yourself. You're better at it. Yes.
Why don't you introduce Robin, and then Robin can introduce herself.
I'm an old lady who broke my wrist on July 12th.
There you go.
And it's just starting to be better now. Not well enough to write, and I'm left-handed, and it's my left. So.
And anyone who writes a Governor General's award-winning book called My Shoes Are Killing Me,
Now her hand is killing her.
Yeah. Well, people like this title. We're Somewhere Else Now. So maybe I should talk to you about the title, because I did a small email interview with, I think it was with Open Book, and one of the first questions, or the first question was, how did you get your title? Is it a title of one of the poems in the book or a phrase from a poem? And I said, usually that's how I get my titles, but not this time. This time, I mean, I had a short list of titles. I thought, since My Shoes Are Killing Me did so well, and I think it did well partly because people loved the title, I thought, and since this is a rather gloomy book, I thought maybe I should give it a cheery, more cheerful, upbeat, maybe funny title. So I took a line from a poem. I took a line from a 35-page poem in this book, and the line was, the cat doesn't know it's Tuesday. And I think maybe that's what I should have called the book. But this is what happened. I had a list of four or five titles, and that was probably the runner-up. And then my husband and I decided to go visit some friends in the country in a house where we had never been, and all of us technologically challenged. So we were going with a GPS that was out of date, badly out of date, and a hand-drawn map that had been scanned and emailed to me. And between the two of them, we thought we would somehow or other find our way to this place. And we were doing pretty well. Like, the highway signs had the right names of places on them. When all of a sudden we hit a maze of orange construction cones, and they went in and out and this and that way. And my husband drove through them, and when he came out the other side, all the place names on the highway signs seemed to have changed. And I said, wait a minute, are we on the right highway? None of the names are the same. And he said very matter-of-factly, in a tone that broke, that said, don't say anything else. We're somewhere else now. And that phrase resonated for me, because I thought, well, this was 2021, and I thought, this is how I've been feeling for the last 2 years. As soon as the pandemic was declared, what, the world shuts down overnight, and all this strange stuff starts going on, and I thought, you know, it's never going to go back. There's no way it's ever going to go back. I somehow or other from that moment knew it was never going to, it would look like it went back, but there's no turning back. We're somewhere else now. So I thought that's going to be the title of the book.
That's good. We are.
And although the book description on the cover says that I chronicled the pandemic years, that is not what I set out to do. I've always been a poet who writes from where I am, in time and in space. And it just happened to be that four of the, most of the poems in the book were written during those 4 years, 2020 to 2024. A few of them predated it. Some predated it by decades, but that there's always a few of those in my collections, poems that didn't fit with the last collection, but somehow or other do fit with this one. So I will start reading We're Somewhere Else Now. There's something else I can say about the book is that in spite of this cover, there's no big city imagery in the book, but I looked at this cover and I loved it immediately, and I thought, why? And I think it's because, if you look, this is a street in Old Montreal. I haven't located it quite, but anyhow, it's a street in Montreal, and it's photographed from an angle that makes it look like a almost surreal, strange. It's familiar yet strange. And that's how I felt about the world waking up the week after we shut down. That, you know, you look out the window and things look the same, but they aren't. And everything's gone a little strange. And I liked the light, the end of the day light. And I liked, I don't know if you can see these, what I call Narnia lamps, these Victorian street lamps. This building facing this building, this wall of glass. It's like the new and old are facing off, and there's a canyon between them. And down here at the bottom, if you look very closely, there's a little human torso and a little tiny car. And I thought, that's sort of where we are. But, you know, fortunately, there's a redemptive sky. It opens out into sky. So I think I looked at the cover and I said, this is not an image from the book, but it's a metaphor for how I feel and where we are or where we aren't anymore or anyway. And then one more thing. None of my books have been particularly, you know, roaringly happy. I've been called tastefully melancholic and various other polite things. So when I gave my daughter her copy, I said, here's another gloomy book from your mother. And she said, gloomy? And then she said, yeah, your books are gloomy. It's true, your books are gloomy. She's all the one. She's the one who always says to me, why do you have to be so death? Well, she says, it's true, your books are gloomy, but people also often say they're luminous. And I said, yeah, that's true. And she said, so why don't we say it's gluminous? So I said, would you spell that O-O-M or U-M? like luminous is spelled with a U, and she went, gluminous, gluminous. No, because gluminous with a U sounds like a truck stuck in the mud. And gluminous sounds luminous. All right, so my gluminous book. The first poem in the book is called Chandelier, which of course is light, so. I woke up one day and the world was out there, roaring and being the world, almost as though nothing had happened. The rest of the interrupted sentence, can you hear me? I'm going to start again because I felt it wasn't loud enough. Maybe I'll take a sip of water if it hasn't disappeared. Okay, let's start that again. Chandelier. I woke up one day and the world was out there, roaring and being the world, almost as though nothing had happened. The rest of the interrupted sentence was not gone. It had somehow jumped to the bottom of the screen. Evidence was mounting that we had been hoodwinked, that we were smoke and mirrored. But the room was always exactly as we left it. An enormous why had begun to form in the sky, and hundreds of smaller whys suddenly materialized, hanging from the tips of bare branches, disguised as raindrops. It was a kind of chandelier that hung there above our heads, not so very far above our heads, but no one was looking up. Trees were falling silently in forests all over the world. It's okay if you don't understand it. This one is called Perpetual. I woke with the word perpetual in my head, and for a few moments I thought there was something I could do with it. But there wasn't. Whatever was shiny about it went dull before I could fully open my eyes. And when I put out a finger to see if I could dust it off, it shattered like a Christmas tree bauble. I woke up with the word smithereens in my head. It was the same old world I woke to. It was the same old world forever changing, the way a soft brown moth seems to melt into air when you try to clap it between your hands. Mm-hmm. The way we stoop on the autumn street to pick up one fallen leaf, exceptional in its colors, and walk some little way admiring it before letting it drop again. A festering. On the site of an old injury buried deep under the closed skin, an itch begins, an itch the scratch of which may yield a poem or a theorem or unearth the seed of a great invention that will unseat all our assumptions and rewind time. A small, insistent itch under a patch of newer skin that doesn't match. Something inside that wants to birth or hatch, work its way out from under a healing that was incomplete, so it can all begin again from scratch. The next poem is called Shadows in Springtime, and I guess this is the first of the ones that is a kind of documenting of those 4 years. It has a dedication, Shadows in Springtime, May 2020, for Roman Wolf. Little boy, grandchild I waited so long for, play with me. Play 6 feet away, 6 feet too far away. I with the sun behind my shoulder, you on a sidewalk square lit by the sun in May, sun that has given me shadow arms, extending the reach of my living arms that may not touch you, hold you, my empty arms in virus time. But with my living hands, see, I can make shadow hands, reaching all the way to where you sit. I can make animal shadows on the sidewalk for you to chase and grab at, laughing. So we play in virus time. Little boy sitting on a sidewalk square lit by May sunshine, 6 feet far, 6 feet too far away. Still we can play, and I can touch you with my shadow hands. You who can't yet walk alone, though you can dance to your daddy, my little laddie, holding his hands, grandson and son. Little one, let me dance a circle round the two of you with 6 foot radius. Dance, dance. Tracing a wheel around you, face to face, your faces at the center, turning to follow mine, always 6 feet between. And let me stomp a rhythm to make you laugh, to hear your laugh, its sweet chime in virus time. Dance, dance. 6 feet, our own, stomping the rhythm together now, double arms length apart. Too far, real arm and shadow arm, a 6 foot span. Dance, dance. But there you are, so almost near, and I could touch you with my shadow hands.
Oh my goodness. Amazing.
I couldn't write that poem after it happened. I didn't write it in May 2020. I wrote it 5 months later. Yeah. And it was only on reading it aloud to my husband for the first time that I cried about how I felt that day. I didn't cry that day. I laughed that day. I danced that day. Okay. In lockdown, Montreal, 2021, so almost a year later, about a year later. On a lamppost at the corner of Park and Villeneuve, someone has printed in permanent black marker, "No happiness ever." A block away on the alley, on the side of a concrete foundation, someone else has painted in white cursive, "Jusqu'à ce que l'amour nous sépare." Despair in two languages. I imagine the days of the unhappy kid, a boy, I think, mid-teens, cut off from friends, sports, from just hanging out in the places kids hang out, corner pool hall, pizza joint, familiar haunts, all closed. And days of the woman put to the test of two's company, two shut in together with no end in sight, who for love's sake forced an end and asked her partner to move out. I didn't notice myself when I saw that sign, "Jusqu'à ce que l'amour nous sépare." It's a pop song in Quebec, but what I didn't notice was l'amour and l'amour sound almost the same. So it's actually a pun, "Till love do us part." Reprise. A sound from childhood suddenly recalled, the music of a pet bird's beak and claws as it clambers up and down the sides of its cage, like random harp strings being plucked. A mellow, metallic music played upon the bars, a ringing as it climbs up, down, and all around, and over the ceiling upside down, cocking a bright eye upward. Or, if the door hangs open on its hinge, venturing out to climb all over the outside of the cage and up to the vaulted roof, cocking the same eye down and in, then up and all about, ready to take wings. By what trick of the mind does it now seem, in memory, the music played from without had a sweeter ring? And in a different mood, maybe a more surreal mood. Flashback, so this is still from the middle of those 4 years, but it's a flashback to March 21st, 2020, which was one of the early days of lockdown. We were afraid to ask. A woman employee in the pharmacy took me to the back of the store and pointed to a bin that looked empty, but in the bottom there was one last bottle. Was she saving it for someone? Every week feels like a month, most days, most of the day, paralyzed by indecision. Still, it was good to have an excuse to walk outside into a spring rain. Water drops hanging from the balcony rail as a hedge against bank collapse. A fist fight over lettuce witnessed in the grocery store. the streets quiet, buses rolling by nearly empty. Everyone downtown was wearing masks. Uptown, they were carrying jumbo packs of toilet paper. A welcome sighting of Quasimodo through plate glass, mopping the floor of the closed and empty restaurant. There was a black ribbon across the entrance to the bank. The impervious clerk who mans the central desk stood by the door, letting people in one or two at a time. He explained, "It's because of the wires." "The wires? What wires?" "It's because of the virus." "Oh, the virus." More black ribbons inside. "Stand behind the ribbon." The teller was wearing blue latex gloves. Now it all makes sense. But does it? Back home, the balcony was cluttered with end of winter mess. But there was room for two chairs. Alternating between fury and hilarity, we sat. Some diluted sun, last sun of the day, broke through cloud cover. Old, dirty snow at our feet. Spilled dirt from plant pots. Spilled seed from the dollar store bird feeder bought on impulse just before the marching orders came down. March in place. The sparrows come every day and are no longer afraid. All of them now wearing gloves.
Wow.
And here's another poem about the sparrows at that feeder that, thank God, I thought to bring by that feeder while I still could. Gave us no end of entertainment. It's called Do-Si-Do. Four sparrows jockey for a perch on a four-perch hanging feeder, then flutter and jostle each to unseat another for a better, switching rungs again and then again, their feathered exchange, a square dance maneuver with chitter for patter, four flit crisscross on a two-step ladder. I tried to reproduce this with the words on the page. This is switching rungs again and then again. Okay, let's move on some months to a poem called Nothing's Happening Here. Nothing's happening here, I thought, crumpling a page of early morning scrawl. But then I switched off the electric heater, and silence happened. Layers of cloud are sailing past the high rise, seen from the lane side window. Balconies stacked skyward like open bureau drawers, spilling out glimpses of messy lives. A wind in the backyard tree shakes the winter stiff twigs. A squirrel in the fork washes his face with both hands. Hope for the world these days I hardly dare, but flowers joy me. Last night's bouquet, sunstruck on the breakfast table. The great mill of the press keeps spinning its fine twisted linen, turning dirty laundry into emperor's clothes. And the spider in the window also spins, absorbed in its thread of purpose between inner and outer panes. Let's see. Speaking of luminous and gloominess, and I have a four-line poem here. I don't know if any of you know or love the poetry of Gerard Manley Hopkins, but I do. And he has some very gloomy poems that are also gloominess. And this is just a little quatrain meditating on his gloomier poems. So I have, on reading Hopkins' poem, No Worst, There Is None. And it's a poem about depression. A single soul's relief, and not for long, is the cry of grief out of the belly torn. But solace for generations yet unborn is the grief cry channeled into poem or song. And the next poem, which is kind of a formal counterpart to the 35-page experimental poem that constitutes the second half of the book, which is called In the Wilderness, and I call it a soliloquy in broken time. And it is really a different treatment of those same 4 years. And it's much more philosophical, experimental, improvisatory, goes back and forth between prose and poetry. It's chaotic. But in a way, it's doing exactly the same thing as this sonnet crown called Once More. And a sonnet crown, in case you don't know, a sonnet is a 14-line poem, a very structured classical form. And a sonnet crown is a series of usually 7 sonnets in which the last line of the first sonnet becomes the first line of the second sonnet. The last line of the second sonnet is repeated as the first line of the third sonnet, and so on, with slight variations, until you get to the end of the 7, and then the last line is supposed to be the same as the first line of the entire sequence. So there, and not just that. It also has to, the 7 sonnets have to advance a single line of thought, or a single narrative, or a single, basically a line of thought or a narrative. And I started writing this not with the intention of writing this. I had a single sonnet that I had never published, and it was called Once More. And I was looking at it once more. I was looking at it once more. And I looked at the last line, which was Old Men Come Out to Watch the World Go By. And I thought, that doesn't sound like a last line. It sounds like a first line. And then I thought, maybe I could use this to try to build a sonnet crown. And off I went, and it was so much harder than I thought that if I had ever known, I would never have tried. But I did it, and it was also incredibly exhilarating. I worked on it for 3 months, every day. And sometimes I got 4 lines. Sometimes I got 8 lines and had to scrap them. Sometimes I got 3 or 4, 2 lines that, okay, I see how I'm going to start the next one. And just enough to keep me going and keep me going. And at the end of the 3 months, I had a sonnet crown, except that the last line, and I remember thinking, how am I ever going to end this thing? And it came very naturally back full cycle in terms of theme. It did it all by itself. It was not me pushing it. But when I got to the end, the 7th one, I thought, I have to do something radical here. I have to do something really different. I have a note in my journal saying, I have to do something, I have to break this pattern somehow. But I didn't know how, and I didn't know really why. And then I wrote the last one, and I looked at it, and it was perfect. I mean, the last line was the first line. But I looked at the last 2 lines, and I thought, no. I want to reverse them. And so I reverse them. So the first line that's supposed to be repeated as the last line is repeated as the penultimate line. And there's a new last line. And the new last line kind of opens it out in a new direction, kind of enacts what it's talking about. And, okay, you'll see as I read. I'm not going to say the numbers, so you get the feel of the repetitions. When you hear the repeating line, you'll recognize that a new sonnet has started. Once more, friends have passed on too soon and suddenly, 2 in as many months. With each we had scant time to catch our breath between the sad verdict first shared and sad finality. The years of making memories are gone. We did not know those years for what they were. All seems in flux. Dark forces are astir. Children have grown and flown. Friends have passed on. We dreamed a world untouched by war or want. We dreamed a lie that we believed and preached. Now we can't look the future in the eye. As spring arrives once more, with airs that haunt, we turn, gaze backward, where our hopes lie beached. Old men come out to watch the world go by. Old men come out to watch the world go by, as old men ever will, know what they know. They weren't born yesterday. New winds that blow, to them are winds remembered, winds that lie. Stalwart they stand like pillars in the sun, or lean on porch rails, testing with their weight another winter's wobble to set straight. a seasonal adjustment to be done. Old men in springtime don't look far ahead. This April's crocuses have broken ground. Next April's crocuses, well, who can say? Their garden tools lie rusting in the shed. They nod to neighbors as they gaze around. They sun themselves. Let someone else make hay. They sun themselves. Let someone else make hay. Their houses have grown old with them. They choose their battles wisely, know the ones they'd lose. The porch rail can be fixed in just a day. Weeks on, the young in one another's arms, sweetly entangled, lie on the greening grass, oblivious to the eyes of all who pass, steeped in the moment, lost in each other's charms. The young in springtime don't look far ahead. Their time is timeless, every day a world. An all-consuming now holds them in thrall. No mighty strivings yet, no nameless dread. Unguessed, their futures wait, still tightly furled. Summer unborn, who can imagine fall? Summer unborn, who gives a thought to fall? Summer will overtake them just the same, wrestle them down and bind them to a frame, the baby carriage in the entrance hall. Tethers of silk will hold them 20 years. Moments that stun will bring them to their knees. They in their turn, makers of memories, will float brave hopes and fend off dogging fears. We turn, gaze back to where our own brave hopes foundered and ran aground to lodge in sand. Under what colors did we first set sail? We had a map. We thought we knew the ropes. We were the future. All would go as planned. We learned the many ways a plan can fail. We learned the ins and outs of plans that fail. We had our shot at family, work, and love, and fame and fortune, and our chance to prove some noble dream wherein we could prevail in service of a greater good. We tried. We learned to temper expectations, own our modest winnings, rather than bemoan false starts, wrong turns, and gambits fallen wide. In short, we did what humans do. We rode the winds of our own times, for good or ill. Sometimes they favored human enterprise. Sometimes they hindered it. The winds have slowed. Or is it we ourselves who now stand still, a hush around our ears as motion dies? The hush around our ears as motion dies dismays. We dreamed a world untouched by war. Yet war and want rage on, a distant roar. On air, new journalists repeat old lies we once believed, or half believed. Now doubt has taken over. Things we thought were true hang in the balance, things we thought we knew. It isn't something you can talk about. All seems in flux, unhinged, a world gone strange. Do we imagine this, or is it real? Children have grown and flown, their visits brief. They and their young ones headed into change beyond imagining. How will they deal? Don't ask. A robin sings. Trees are in leaf. Outside, a robin sings. Trees are in leaf, their green lace tossing in the wind. A friend from far away has just arrived to spend a day or two in fellowship of grief for one we loved in common, laid to rest, with whom we shared some long ago green hours, before the World Wide Web, before the towers, when years for making memories seemed blessed. Dark forces are astir, but air of spring wafts lilac through the screen once more. For now, a voice, a face, familiar company, a word, a touch of hand, remembering. Friends have passed on too soon and suddenly. We will go on from here. Don't ask us how.
Whoa.
So, immediately after writing that, I found a start I had made on writing another Hopkins poem. I had spent 3 months writing sonnets, so it was easy to do the sonnet part of it. And I just had to respond to Hopkins's poem. And the poem is, you could look it up by first line if you have a book of Hopkins, "My Own Heart Let Me More Have Pity On," in which Hopkins is trying to adjure himself to be gentler with his self-criticism and miseries, and to be more gentle with himself. And at the end, he talks about God's smile, and where you've got how God's smile, and he's walking between, like the sun coming over mountains and lighting a lovely mile. The sun lighting a lovely mile. Anyhow, okay. On reading Hopkins, "My Own Heart Let Me More Have Pity On." In a dark vale, a lovely mile lit by a long dead poet, the forms unforeseen God's smile can take, as see a sonnet's sheen come upon by surprise, words deftly knit to send out rays of light like the swift flit and swoop a goldfinch makes across the green, lines on a page that flash in the in-between of darksome hours, releasing truth and wit, releasing self from self-obsessing maze. How does one tender thanks for such a gift, for the untangling of what frays and flays the captive spirit, this unhoped-for shift of mind, crooked made straight? How but to praise God in the God-sent words that sparked this lift? And I'll read two last poems coming out of gloom towards hope. One is called Invocation, and it's an invocation to hope. Hope, like a dormant fly that suddenly revives and begins to buzz in a corner of the window screen. Hope, like the mailman's footsteps coming up the outdoor staircase. Hope, like a paper flower bought for a handful of loose change from the woman on the corner by the bank with her soft Irish lilt. Hope, like that lilt and her hands that made the flower. Hope like tiny rainbows cast on the wall by a crystal hung in a sunny window, and like the cat that leaps to bat at them with a velvet paw. Hope like a sentence underscored in a borrowed book, or a note in the margin by a sidelined paragraph saying, "This is me." Hope like a shift in the wind, like a tug on the line, like a line thrown just in time. Hope like a phrase heard in a dream and remembered on waking, like a floating night thought remembered on waking, remembered again a few hours later, and again at evening, a good thought. Hope, come back to me. I think I'll stop there. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Novel Idea, for having us. And
you just heard from a, what date was that? November, I mean, no, I'm sorry, October 23rd book launch event at Novel Idea. You heard Robin Serra reading from her new book of poetry, her collection of poetry called We're Somewhere Else Now. I do have several minutes that I'll be sharing a few calls for submissions, upcoming events, and I do have a piece of music to take us out of here again this afternoon, so I'll start that shortly before 6 o'clock. But I do have another round of these messages to do right now, so let's do that first, and I will be right back.
Hello, this is Christina Laurie, CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative news reporter. Does local news matter to you? CFRC's annual funding drive campaign is now underway through December 31st, and you can help CFRC keep our listeners informed on issues that matter with modernized broadcasting equipment and trained team members. Help CFRC raise $25,000 this year and make your gift today via CFRC.ca. Don't forget to tune in for daily news programming and subscribe to our news podcast to keep up with the latest in your community.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Walking home late at night? We've got you. Discover Kingston's only nighttime safe walk service, Queen's Walk Home. 100% free and student-run safe walk service, so you never have to walk alone. We operate 7 nights a week, getting Queens and Kingston community members home safely. Requesting a walk is simple. When it's dark out, just call 613-533-9255, start a live chat at walkhome.ca, or visit our kiosk on the first floor of the JADA. Two walking partners will meet you to drop you off at your destination safely, no questions asked. Visit walkhome.ca to learn more about our hours, boundaries, and terms of conditions. Walk smart, walk safe, walk home.
CFRC 101.9 FM has launched its annual funding drive to raise $25,000 to support station operations, news and creative programming, and upgrades to our recording and performance studios. You can make a difference. Visit CFRC.ca right now and make your gift. Get a tax receipt or sweet, sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our weekly raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. Thank you for your support.
And you are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And going to share a few events that are coming up immediately. I also have some calls for submissions that are starting to get close to the deadline. In fact, one really is, so I'll be sure and do some of those. Anyway, try to stay a little bit on top of some art and lit events that are going on around town. I can tell you that the Kingston School of Art is open again in their new site now. It's in Providence Village, which is at 1200 Princess Street. They've already had a set of classes for the fall that they're part way through, but they do have two new classes, a teen and adult class. So for those 16 years old or older, it runs 5:30 to 7:30. It begins November 18th. They do have another kids class for creative, and these are kids age 6 to 9, creative painters. It's a 4-week class, runs from November 22nd to December 13th. Why don't you go to their website? Let me see. Here we go, www.ksoa.info. You can find all the information you need and how to sign up if that's something you'd like to do. Another thing, Word Labs is, it's a they also have a radio show here at CFRC called Word Labs Out Loud that airs every Wednesday at 5:30 on CFRC and online again, www.cfrc.ca. It's a 30-minute show. What they talk about, they bring people in to provide workshops. And so if you're interested in that, they also have a peer writing group that meets biweekly. Why don't you check out their website? They do have a new, a current one now, Let's Get Lit, it said. Intro to Reading Like a Professor, it says. There are some still remaining. It meets on Tuesdays from 6:30 to 8. The next one, I believe, is November 18th. anyway, check out their website, www.wordlabs.ca. Again, our funding drive is going on. You've heard it mentioned here a couple of times today. Well, there's an event coming up in it this week as well. It's going to be held at the Grad Club, and that's Tuesday, November 18th at 7 p.m., and it's called Drag Queen Bingo Fundraiser with Tiffany Morgan, again, at the Grad Club, Tuesday, November 18th, 7 p.m. We'd love it if you can donate here through the website and the station, but that's another way you can help to help with our funding efforts. So that's coming up again Tuesday. Let's see how I'm doing for time here. Let's go ahead and move to... There's the Nan Yeamans Grant for Artistic Development. I'm just going to give you, they're looking for, is awarded, it's a, they're looking for applications. So if you would like to recommend someone, the grant totals $4,000 awarded each year to one Kingston area emerging artisan, 17 to 40 years old, working in visual media and who demonstrates financial need. www.kingston.ca and then Nan Yeamans Grant for Artistic Development should be able to, should pull up that sub link right there if you just go to the main link. And then also 20 Prairie Fire. Let's do this one first. Expiring November 30th, the 2026 Alan Urith Purdy Poetry Prize. This is for a full collection of poetry. Why don't you read up about it and see if you what the requirements are and who can submit. www.alpurdy.ca and then just look for a sublink there, Alan Urith Purdy Poetry Prize. See here how I'm doing. And Prairie Fire is another one that expires November 30th. It's the 2025 McNally Robinson Booksellers Poetry Short Fiction and Creative Nonfiction Contests. So it's open to a lot of different genres. Why don't you check out their website? Again, expires November 30th. www.prairiefire.ca/contests. And one more, a little bit more local. Assembly Press is now open for poetry, full poetry manuscript submissions. So this is their reading months. They have reading periods for fiction, which are March and September, nonfiction, April and October, and then for poetry, May and November. So since that's where we're at, that's what they're looking for. Poetry submissions for a full collection. Check out everything you need to know at assemblypress.ca/submissions. That, too, is November expires. The deadline is November 30th. And then you, if you don't do it then and you're a poetry, a poet, you'll have to wait all the way till next May to try to submit again. So if you have something, you might want to check it out. Let's go ahead and start to do this, and I'll start to kind of... move our way out. You are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. Just a quick reminder that I do upload both hours of my show each week to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on CFRCFM.wordpress.com. We'll remain there for 3 years. I do want to thank you for tuning in to this second hour and those that have been through at the start, the first hour as well, and for tuning in today. I also want to thank, like I did Maggie in the first hour, thank Robin for a wonderful launch here that night on October 23rd. And I will say that as this show starts to end and I start to slide out of here, please stay tuned for 2 hours of East Coast music in a show called Saltwater Music, hosted by Rob Carnell. To take us out of here, pulled up a little bit older CD. This came out as a reissue in 2008, I believe. I think it came out originally in 1999. Group, a trio, Jamie Campbell, Gary Raspberry, and Rob Unger were known as Fireweed. Began in the late, mid, maybe 1980s into the 1990s and maybe a bit into the early 2000s. Anyway, they have a self-titled CD just called Fireweed. And I'm going to go ahead and play one of my favorite tracks off of that right now. Sorry, I thought I had it all loaded up. Throwing it in there now. So I hope you all have a really great week out there. This is called Vaudeville when it comes up. And here we go. Thanks so much. Have a great week out there.
For the marks are back again. I have seen the kings of repertoire as they step down from the train. It's only noon, but school is done. It's a special holiday. We can all go to the border sun to see the matinee. So, Ma, put on your crinoline. The vaudeville's back in town. Get out that starch again. The vaudeville's back in town. When farmers hitched up mid-afternoon, left behind their rows to hoe, traveled miles of mud rut county line to the Opry's evening show. Tom and Ernie made them laugh. Bob and Joe, they played it straight. All the virtue and the villainy, that was 1898. So Bob, put on your crinoline. The vaudeville's back in town. Paul, get out your starch again. Vaudeville's back in town. Dress, the vaudeville's back in town. Dad, the television says the vaudeville's back in town. Ma, put on your crinoline, the vaudeville's back in town. Pa, get out that starch again, the vaudeville's back in town.